Okay, well, hello and welcome. Hope you're enjoying this nice sunny Seattle spring so far. And I guess you're here for the week, so there's, I'm sure, plenty more sunshine to enjoy. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to come out and hear more about basically how to interop with SharePoint. So my name is Yi-Rei Cho. I'm a senior lead program manager on the SharePoint Developer Experiences team. Kind of, as you might expect, we look after developer experiences. So, and you're going to hear a lot of this very straightforward stuff throughout the day because, you know, as much as there is about SharePoint, it's really not that complicated. You know, things actually tend to make sense a little bit in the end. In my past life, I've worked on earlier parts of SharePoint. So we used to be called the SharePoint Platform and Tools team. And I looked after things like the SharePoint Designer product, as well as things like the data view web part, as well as how to connect to and present data from SharePoint. So what we're here to talk about is the SharePoint Frontend Protocols Overview document. So I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction of SharePoint in general to give you some context on how you can think about all of our little pockets and bundles of capability and how the protocols around those things get organized. That'll include both talking about the topology of SharePoint as well as the logical structure, which I think is really helpful and kind of key for making sense of all the protocols that are in the document. From there, we're going to talk about each pocket of capability, and both from the core platform as well as the extended set. And then finally, we'll walk through a really quick example. And there's fancy transitions the whole time, so bear with me on that. Okay, so first off, as I mentioned, this is the front-end protocols overview document, or as I like to call it, SPFEPO. This provides an overview of all the front-end protocols in SharePoint. So this is basically how any old client application or other non-SharePoint servers would communicate to SharePoint. This is not how SharePoint communicates to its own database tier, and it's similarly not talking about the server OEM, writing to the server OEM directly. It's always about a client application talking to SharePoint. As I've noted, we try to organize the capabilities into this notion of the core platform as well as the set of So for folks who are familiar with the SharePoint product or the multiple releases of it, you can kind of think of the core platform capabilities as the capabilities that were included in Windows SharePoint Services or SharePoint Foundation, whereas the extended ones are more about Microsoft Office SharePoint Server or Microsoft SharePoint Server, depending on the releases that you're talking about. The last couple of caveats I'll also go into is, you know, this is going to be an Office 14 oriented talk. We're not talking about Office 15. I know some folks, I think, had asked about that a little bit. So very 14 oriented. And then I know some other folks had some questions about Office 365, and we have a session dedicated to that later on today. And so, you know, we'll go much deeper into basically developing against that environment later on. And then lastly, this is an overview talk. This is, I guess, the first big talk that you're seeing today. And so we're not going to go into a lot of detail throughout the day, but we do hope to provide you kind of a landscape of, you know, what is there in SharePoint, what are the areas that you might be interested in. And so that's the intent. I'm happy to answer questions, and if there's things I can't answer, I'll be happy to direct them to folks who can. Okay? So the first picture that you're going to see, it's probably a little bit hard to actually read it from here, so I'll point out things. But this is to show the basic deployment or the common deployment that you might see in SharePoint. And this helps to emphasize the collection of documents that we have. So as I noted, the SPFEPO document is all about the front-end protocols. So that's either a client, this big box in the middle is SharePoint's front-end. You have client applications that are using the front-end protocol. You have other server applications that are talking via the front-end protocols. And then there's also a companion document, or kind of the sister document to the front end, which is all the back end protocol documents. And that's how SharePoint goes and talks to its own database tier. And so we're not going to be covering that at all. That's mostly for folks who are looking at more of the database replacement type of a thing. That's the document that you want to look into. And that's all about how all of the various things on the front end talk to the back end SharePoint databases. The next thing, as you might know, is that SharePoint obviously is a website, and so it's a really fancy website in that. And this shows kind of how the web topology aspects work. So we're a complicated ASP.NET application, which has a database in the back. And there's a couple of main web applications that are worth noting. So these help encapsulate some of the core capabilities and experiences that SharePoint provides. So first off, there's the central administration web application. So this is where the central admin website is hosted out of. Central admin is for the farm administrators to go and basically manage their SharePoint deployments. This is the place that they have UI to go and create sites for their end users. It's also the place that they can go and manage some of the vertical capabilities of SharePoint. Next is the notion of the runtime web applications. This is the primary end user face of SharePoint. So when end users go and use SharePoint, they're looking at pages that are hosted out of the primary runtime web applications. All of that stuff is organized into these things called site collections. I'm going to go a lot more into that in the next slide. And then finally, there's the service application web applications. So these are all the vertical capabilities or the extended capabilities of SharePoint. So I kind of mentioned that there's core functionality and extended functionality. A lot of the extended functionality is hosted out of these web applications. So examples of these service applications are things like search or Excel services, kind of these core vertical scenarios that are extended or built on top of the core platform. So this next slide, and you're going to see similar versions of this in some of the other talks, but this is probably the most important slide of the day to just help make sense of things. SharePoint is very, very hierarchical, and it's all about containers and things that contain other things. So there's always this notion of some root object, a collection of those objects, and then so on and so on and so on. So as I noted, for the end user face of things, or that kind of runtime face, that core, the first concept that's worth noting is the site collection. So as it might sound, this is a collection of websites. And like I said, a lot of these names kind of make sense. So you have a collection of websites, which are represented by this notion of a site. So a site is a collection of pages, so what people see, as well as lists, which are the primary storage capability of SharePoint. Lists and its kind of companion libraries. You can store list items with customizable schema, so anything you want to track. And you can also upload documents and put them in document libraries. Lastly, those lists and document libraries can be further segmented by folders to get groups of items that make sense. Okay? So again, for folks, especially folks who are kind of new to SharePoint, it's all about you have a website, you want to go and store information. You can store it kind of like lists. It's almost like a simple table. You can think about it like that. And there's also places to go and store documents. So it's, I guess, kind of not unlike a file share, except for it's all on the web. And then there's a lot of capabilities built around that, around check-in, check-out, and so on. And we'll talk a lot more about that. Okay. So any questions on this so far? Great. Okay, well, this slide says, onto the protocol. Before we go on to that, this is, for anyone who's ever seen a marketing presentation about SharePoint has probably seen this pie before. And the way the marketing folks talk about it is SharePoint has all these workloads, and these workloads provide great capabilities. You know, I'm not really a marketing person, but I do think that that's actually a somewhat useful analogy. And so, especially for folks who are kind of trying to figure out where to start with SharePoint, SharePoint at its core and that core platform, it's all about sites, document libraries, lists, and people. And so anytime that you're looking at storing, you have sites that kind of convey information, you have documents and list items, which is the main point of data, and then you have people. So we're really integrated with the notion of people in the enterprise. So that's the kind of first set of core concepts that maps to things like the sites and communities and composites areas, the upper part of that pie. So with each of these cases, like say documents or list items or sites, there's the core capability, which is kind of generic of, yes, there is this sort of data storage notion, or there's this notion of things that you could go and see, like web pages and things like that. And then from there, each of the extended capabilities is kind of a specialization on one of those. So for example, we have documents in general, but there's also special cases for Word documents that we can go and do. So for example, in the 2010 release, we enabled collaborative authoring scenarios based on Word documents that are stored in SharePoint. Or you might have, say, something else, like a site. You might have a meetings workspace site. So that's a special kind of site that's supposed to make it really easy to manage your meetings. And so that's a good way to think about SharePoint, is that at its very core, there's documents, lists, and people. And then there's kind of specialized cases or specialized scenarios in which you can go and use all of those objects. Some of the extended capabilities that you see on the bottom, like insights, search, and content, I'll talk about each. Insights is all around business intelligence. So we have capabilities around doing reporting and showing charts and graphs, things of that nature. Next, there's search. Search is kind of a straightforward one. You can search the content in SharePoint, as well as federate out and get other content sources and expose that via the SharePoint UI. And then content is all about managing documents or other sort of content. So this includes workflow capabilities, as well as things around, you know, making things official documents or otherwise managing the lifecycle around documents. Okay. So any questions about that before we go into each of the protocol areas? Does that all make sense? Nods? Some? Okay. Okay, so as I noted, the core platform is all about sites, lists, data, security, and kind of the people around that. So that's what the set of things you see here. There's also that notion of the composites workload, which is all about doing customizations and custom solutions around SharePoint, or really built on top of the SharePoint platform. So we have a couple services around that. But I won't really talk about these bullet points because I have kind of more detailed slides going on. Okay. So for the rest of the presentation, I'm going to go and talk about each of these buckets of functionality and some of the related protocols, and I'll try to highlight so the types of scenarios or the ways in which we do that in the product today, so you can kind of get a sense of, you know, how did we view these spaces. Okay? So that first one is around site administration. So if SharePoint has a lot of sites, you need to have ways to manage them. So this is all about how do you go and create new sites, how do you go and specify what the permissions around sites and who the members of sites are. And as I also noted, that there's these notions of specialized sites. So we have a couple of protocols around document workspaces and meetings workspaces. And these are specific site template types that are unique to these scenarios. Both all the protocols on this slide, or at least the kind of the forward-looking ones that we think, you know, SharePoint's been built over 10 years, so most of the protocols are SOAP's protocols, but we also have some other things like older RPC calls and kind of newer REST-based calls. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about, and so in case you see multiple protocols per section, that's why. But we'll have a session, I think, next, actually, with one of my teammates, Maxim, and he's going to go really, really into detail around sites and lists and, you know, also talk about which protocols, you know, we kind of think are the right ones to continue to use. Okay. So next is lists. As I noted, lists is another one of those really core concepts in SharePoint. So lists, there's all the ability to go and get the data for lists, so both read and write. There's a couple of protocols for that. There's also cases of managing views. So when you have a list of data, you want to be able to see it. So we have this concept of a view, which is just, you know, basically a query on that information and then having the ability to see that on the web page. So there's a set of protocols around that. And then similarly around forms. So you have to be able to write your data, so you need a form to be able to write it. And so kind of that set of protocols is a lot of the core of that SharePoint user experience around lists. Some of the other more specific capabilities that we have around lists is the ability to do alerts. So whenever a list item changes, we have some UI that goes and lets users specify and kind of subscribe to things that are happening on that list, so they can get summaries of, oh, so-and-so changed an item, or, you know, this is the activity that happened. So we have a protocol around setting that up and also getting that sort of information. And then lastly, we have a couple of scenarios around Outlook. So Outlook has the ability to go in and use Outlook storage to go and look at list items and documents. So there's a couple of protocols that are basically around how to go and sync those items into Outlook. And so that's kind of a specific one. And you can kind of look at these sorts of similar protocols if you want to go and have basically, you know, read-write list data, sync to your own storages of data, and otherwise, you know, do things like that. Okay? Okay. This next slide also, I believe, we'll get some deeper looks at, in particular on file operations. So there's a session on that also, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so on file operations. So this is all about how you read and write files in SharePoint, and basically put files onto the server. The next one is around security and identity. So, SharePoint's a web server, so you basically need to figure out the right ways, or there are a couple different ways to authenticate. So we support things like form-based authentication as well as NTLM and things like that. A lot of actually the Office 365 talk later on the day will focus very specifically about how you authenticate to Office 365 because there's some unique instances or unique issues around that particular implementation. So that's going to be a pretty good one to pay attention to. And then lastly, there's also the notion of just kind of managing and authorizing users, groups, and permissions. So this is a matter of for all the people I have in SharePoint, what can they go and access? And be able to specify at the various, I guess, permissionable scopes. So you could go and permission things on a per item basis, on a folder basis, on a web basis, and so on. So again, kind of thinking towards that containment hierarchy, that's, that was a pretty key concept of how you can go and permission each of those objects. The last area on this slide is for authoring integration. So as I noted, SharePoint has a lot of different types of documents that exist within SharePoint. And there's a couple that are very specific to particular types of documents. So one type of document that we have is the notion of a slide library. So you can go and publish slides to a shared location, and other people can go and sync those slides to their own slide decks. There's a couple of protocols around managing that. There's other protocols around managing another type of document, in this case, an image. And so how do you go and manage and sync images to these document libraries? So again, there's that notion of you have a document, kind of the generic capability, and there's specialized things that go into it, and we have some specialized protocols to handle those types. Okay. The last little bit that I'd like to mention here is that we have a couple of protocols around doing co-authoring. So this is the ability to have multiple people work on an Office document at the same time. So we specify in our implementation, we support it for things like Word and PowerPoint. And so you could have multiple people editing the document at the same time. You can also, and you don't actually need to have just people. You can also have code that's actually writing and doing those same sorts of operations. And so if you're running a document operation or you have a process that's running a document operation, you can go and use those same protocols to make changes on the right parts of the documents and otherwise handle that. Okay, the last slide for the core platform protocols area is that we have a set of extensibility scenarios. So now that you have a lot of content inside of SharePoint, you have to figure out ways to get it in and out, back up, and restore it. And so that's what that first set of protocols is. It's all about how you go and get content, migrate content, so on. Once you have documents, you have that first step of things like check-in, check-out, but eventually you want to go and kind of take it to the next step and start modeling a more of a document process. And so we have a couple of things around workflows. There's capabilities like doing approval, so having groups of people approve documents and otherwise, and kind of all built on top of a really extensible, excuse me, workflow platform that you can go and specify your own activities or otherwise string together activities to go and complete and model business processes. There's another session on workflow, I believe, later on this afternoon. So that's a pretty deep area that they'll go into there. And the last section down, oh, I forgot to mention, there's also web parts and web part pages. So within the web pages, we have this a framework called the web part framework. This is an ASP.NET capability. Because we're built on ASP.NET, we can go take advantage of these capabilities. But you can think of this as essentially, it's very similar to the notion of like a portlet on a page. So it's a small encapsulated chunk of UI that has both a kind of a client side as well as a server side to it. So there's server logic that's rendering HTML, returning that back to the client. And there's a set of, there's a basically a markup definition that describes what these web parts can do and also what their configuration is. And so there's a set of services that are all about how do you go and put a part on a page and what are its properties. And so you can go and read and write and do customizations on pages using these sorts of protocols. Okay, the last bucket, or is really not really, it's kind of an all-encompassing one, I might say, is that there, we have a, as I noted before, because we've been built up over time, we've looked at what are some of the APIs or the protocols that are interesting and popular to the extensibility community at each given point. So in our really earliest days, we're using RPC calls, and then we did a lot of big investments in SOAP and things like that. During the last release, we invested in a client-side object model. So this is both a JavaScript API as well as a managed API. And you know, we think this is kind of one of the areas that a lot of people kind of are familiar with this set of technologies, and we like kind of continuing to invest in this area going forward. So there's a really deep deep dive into this specific protocol set later on this afternoon. And so, but this is a, you know, once you start to look at the client object, some of the things that's changed as compared to how we've done things on the SOAP side is that this supports good batch operations. So you can do a set of operations at once and be smart about how you commit that and have a lot greater control over those sorts of things. Okay, any questions before I go to the extended capabilities? Okay. So as you kind of seen, there's a set of Quark's capabilities and that are within SharePoint around storing lists, people, documents, sites, those sorts of concepts. The extended capabilities are much, much more specialized over a lot of these vertical scenarios. So some of them are related to specific clients that interop with SharePoint, and other ones are related to specific kind of verticals or workloads that I mentioned before. Most of the major Office client apps have an integration scenario with SharePoint, so, and I'll talk about each of these as we continue on. One of the first kind of client teams that really examined what a deeper integration scenario around SharePoint was the Excel services one. So as I noted before, these are almost all of these are implemented as that service application concept, so kind of a new core capability that's built on top of the platform. So what Excel services allows you to do is to first off have a set of APIs that handles publishing workbooks to the server. Once a workbook is published to the server, there's the ability to go and do things like, you know, schedule when you're going to do calculation, stuff like that. Similarly, once you have that up on the server, there's a couple of other interesting protocols, like you can get programmatic access to any of the content that's within that spreadsheet. So if you want to go and fetch a specific table or a specific chart within that spreadsheet, you can go and do that sort of capability. And lastly, you can also take advantage of Excel, which is great for calculations, take advantage of its abilities to do calculations on top of data as well. Okay. So the next vertical capability is around access services. So in the Office 2010 timeframe, the access team invested a lot in figuring out the right way to go and publish and take traditionally what was, you know, kind of a client database or client application and figure out a way to publish that onto a server. And so they specified a format that goes and describes declaratively this application type. And then from there, the formats around it, and then finally how to go and publish that up to a server. So that way people have a great tool to go and author these sorts of client apps and then go and publish them to a server, which are now a web app, and people can go and interact with them from there. And then the next one is around InfoPath form services. So while SharePoint has a capability around forms that exist out of the box, InfoPath kind of provides a much richer form experience. So if you were to take an authoring experience such as InfoPath and design some forms, there are some protocols around publishing those forms up to the server and enabling them for web consumption. Okay. The next group of capabilities around the user profile service. So as I noted, there's a really big emphasis of people in SharePoint. So this is how you go and get information about people, the things that matter to them, such as their group memberships, who their colleagues are. You can also go and get, in the 2010 timeframe, we did an investment around more social collaboration or social network-like type features. So there's the notion of an activity feed for content in SharePoint and as well as for people. And so you can go and get access to these sorts of information. So, you know, the types of scenarios that we kind of think about here is if you want to go and create kind of unified views of people and the information around them, or create more unified views of activities around that are happening within SharePoint, and then, you know, providing some interesting insight or views on that information. So just to get a little bit more specific, you know, things like activity would be like, oh, I've, you know, might be my birthday today, and so people will be able to see that, can see when I've gone and edited specific documents. You can obviously control a lot of the how verbose that information is. It can also specify things like, oh, I've become a colleague with Maxim, and things like that. Okay. The next capability is around search. Search, I think, is a concept most people understand. So it's all about finding documents or finding content within SharePoint. So we have both the notion of people search as well as for other types of content. The protocols here are about, obviously, one is around query. So you can go and ask search for specific queries and return the results from the index. And then secondly is actually setting up new indices for search.
I have no idea whether our company servers can be. Nobody can ever find anything. So is that because we don't have index generated, or is that
right? Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of potential reasons, but you know, if assuming that the crawl is all completed and stuff like that, it's a matter of, you know, just making sure that I guess everything's running correctly. You know, I think we'd have to follow up more directly to diagnose what might be going on, though. Okay. Okay. The next bucket of capability is called business connectivity services. So this is all about how you connect to external data from SharePoint. So this capability includes both the notion of modeling external systems. So you can specify, like, you might have a database or a service running somewhere in your organization, and then you can go and kind of abstractly model that service kind of under a set of basic stereotype functions. So, you know, specify how it can go and create items, read items, delete items, and so on. From there, you have the ability to actually go and access and operate and run any of those operations. Okay. The next one after that is now content management services. So these are some of the more advanced capabilities around managing content or documents within SharePoint. So for example, you can do versioning and this notion of an official record, and so helping run sort of processes as well as helping better track compliance and things like that. So for example, if you have a document and you want to say it's final and official, you can go and use these sorts of protocols to specify that about documents that are stored in SharePoint. Okay. And then the last line in that content management area is this notion of a central metadata storage. So one of the capabilities in SharePoint is the ability to specify kind of a hierarchy of terms. So these are like the official kind of taxonomy information of the company. And then you can go and use that in parts of your UI or as well and kind of tag documents, things of that sort with that capability. So this is really helpful if I want to go and manage large sorts of content in a very structured way. And the capability and the protocols here allow you to go and read and write that metadata and otherwise manage that store. Okay, this is the last slide of protocols. So the first one, as I mentioned, we have this notion of an insights workload, so around doing business intelligence and otherwise doing reporting. One of the capabilities is from Performance Point, in which they have a dashboarding capability. So you can go and render dashboards and see information from a lot of different sources and other and kind of get your all of view of SharePoint. So the ability to go and author one of these dashboards, they have their own client tool that allows you to author them, but the protocol that communicates what that configuration is and gets that up to the server, that's that first protocol. Secondly, whenever you're looking at a dashboard, you always want to kind of know where that number came from and then, you know, drill into that info. So there's some summary view, and you want to drill in a little bit deeper. And so that second protocol is basically, once you've specified an item or a value that you want to go and analyze, you can go and drill in and kind of understand better what the, I guess, the components of that particular item are. Okay. The next bucket around analytic services, this is all about tracking usage of your site. So if it's a website, there's a set of you know, things like searches, traffic, like who's using what pages, that sort of information. So what this service allows you to do is to go and specify new things that you want to track, and then once you've specified those, you can then report on what those things are. So for example, if you wanted to see how often people are using specific pages or what are some of the commonly run search queries, you can go and track that sort of information and then do additional analysis once the reports start coming in. And the last one here isn't something that's actually implemented on our front ends, but we included in this document kind of for completeness sake, but Office Online, so there's the website Office Online. There's a lot of different content in Office Online, and we provided some basic experiences in SharePoint 2010 to go and view that content from the context of SharePoint. If some of you are familiar with in the client apps, that there's this notion of a getting started experience where you can see templates and things from office.com, this is that similar, this is the web service that helps and drives those types of experiences. So you can go and see content there and kind of get richness because that's getting constantly updated. Okay. All right, so before I go to the example that I'm just going to walk through very briefly, any questions on all this stuff?
It seems like there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat and build something based on what you're offering. Do you track the frequency which these protocols would use?
I don't think we actually track the usages of various protocols, but we do kind of, the things that we do track is just from the documentation perspective, which document, like, you know, sorry, just to, I'm like, we don't track it within the product, but we do kind of see from like the help documentation which topics and which areas are more popular, and we make sure that we've sufficiently met those sorts of information needs. You know, in general, just the, you know, the core capabilities of SharePoint are things like the list items, documents, people, things like that. So that's one of the areas that obviously gets a lot more, I guess, views around.
Where these protocols come in, which versions was the first one?
Yeah. I don't have it in this slide, but it is covered in the document, actually, in pretty detail, pretty good detail. So for, oh, sorry. So the question was, do we have a way to visualize for each of these protocols which version of SharePoint or which flavor of SharePoint they're available in or came online? And I said I don't have a great summary slide that covers all of those, but within the actual SPFEPO document itself, in section 2.2 and I think in 2.4, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's 2.2 for the core ones. I can't remember what the extended capabilities one was. There's this big table that, or there's a table per protocol area, and it'll specify, you know, this set of protocols applies to SharePoint 2007 and SharePoint 2010, whereas this protocol only applies to, you know, SharePoint 2010. And so that's covered within the document. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, and so, yeah, it's a little bit hard to see. The last little bit, this is the first example that's included within the document, and kind of shows you how to go and use a lot of the SOAP protocols. So, you know, basically within SharePoint, there's typically, whenever you're creating things in SharePoint, there's usually a notion of templates or a template to base that object off of, and there's this really common call pattern that you're going to end up seeing of, you know, let's say if I want to create a site, which is what this shows creating a site, creating lists, and getting list data. That first step is always going to be that client application needs to go and say, hey, what are all the types of sites that we're able to create? So what are the specific capabilities? Like, so for example, a meetings workspace, a team site, what are all the different template types that we can use to create in SharePoint? So you ask for all the site template types, you get those back, you make your selection, and then when you make the call to say create, you always specify that template type. Okay? And so that's what that first few calls are doing. So there's the site's web service, which you'll hear about in the next session, that says get the site template types. You can go and get that, then you say create the web, and then it'll give you the response of, you know, your I think it's the URL is the primary piece of the site that you created. Once you have that, once you have the site that you've created, you can go and start creating other things or otherwise interacting with the objects on that site. So that first step would be, again, to go and say, hey, if I wanted to create a list, I could say, what are all the list template types that are available to me? So I go and make that call, get that back, decide which list template I want to create, and then go create a list of that template type. And then, again, we get back, I think, the URL or the ID of the list and some basic information around those lines. And then finally, once you've gone and done that, you can go and get access to that list and do updates and things. Some of the common patterns that you see around getting objects in SharePoint, there's usually kind of two main ones, but one is a case in instances in which you know exactly where that item is, you can go and get it via some ID or URLs, things of that sort. The other pattern is this notion of collection. So if you recall that colorful slide with the steps of all the container objects, there's always this notion of a collection, so you can go and get all the lists for our site, and then from there, figure out which specific list that you want. And so there's that combination of calls that you see that pattern a lot in SharePoint. So once you've gotten the collection of lists, in this case, we had the list already, but if you wanted to get the collection and say, I want to get this particular list, you can go and ask, what are all the lists in the site? Make your selection, and then start to operate on that specific list instance. And then we have a couple of different web services that allow you to go and say update items by specifying, a blob that says these are the item values. And again, Maxim will go into an extraordinary amount of detail around all the things, lists, and sites in the next session. Okay. So that's basically the rough and quick overview of all things SharePoint. You know, we've basically went through something like 10 years of development time and tried to go and summarize them in about 30 minutes. So I recognize that, you know, it's probably a lot to gather, especially if you're new. But I think some of the core concepts that I want are that notion of SharePoint's all about this object hierarchy of sites with lists in it and pages in it. Sites have folders and items, so on. And that, you know, SharePoint with those core capabilities, there's a lot of extended and scenario-specific capabilities built on top of those objects. Okay, any final questions? Sorry, I'm having trouble. Oh, okay. Can you repeat the question?
Can you look over the wire application with the shirt on the front end and back end,
okay.
Or front end. Can you see on the path what part of it is? I can tell you yes, and then what parts that we have to build up that. You would see what the document is actually calling it. So you can wait for the number for the presentation that we have in our parts of the other.
Okay, just to repeat for folks who didn't hear, the question was, are there any tools or things like that that lets you see the communication or what's going over the wire between a client and the front-end server? And the answer is yes, and there's going to be, and we have all these different parsers that allow you to go and see that and see what's going through, and there's a subsequent presentation, I'm not sure when, today, tomorrow?
We're going to have a talk this afternoon.
This afternoon.
Diagram that you showed in the last slide, you get a list of something and you act on that list. What is the lifetime of that list? And if something is deleted on the terminal list before you actually act on it, what happens?
Yeah, so I think the lifetime of that list is going to be based on just the activity of your site. So, you know, if you're going to be talking to a live server, you know, you might have users who are using it, and so it'll be basically working within that sort of scope of time. If things are happening in between, what ends up happening is you'll have the various exceptions that describe the current error case. So, for example, let's say if you got a list and then while you were processing or you just decide to wait for some period of time and someone deleted that list, when you go and attempt to go commit that change, you would get an error back from the protocol that's stating that that list does not exist. I think it depends on the specific scenario. So I think most of the times what we actually, like you would want to handle the case, but rather than doing an automatic retry, it's usually more of an explicit user gesture. Like I'm kind of thinking back to, you know, my experiences around doing SharePoint Designer, which did take advantage of a lot of these sorts of protocols. And, you know, typically the activity around a site or around these sorts of kind of heavier weight customers, like, you know, be it a deletion, things like that, weren't super frequent actually within a site. And so we would handle the case and make a statement, kind of return some message back to the end user of that application, and then from there allow them to retry the operation. That, oh, okay. Any other questions? Oh yeah, the question was, is there a difference between the library and a list? Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's a, I think, yes, there are some differences, but, you know, there are a lot of similarities between the two. It's kind of a specialized case, and there's some differences around storage in particular. Is that okay? So, like I said, Maxim will go into, yeah. Okay, any other questions before we move on to the next session? Actually, I think there's actually a break between, right? Okay, great. Yeah, and if you think about any other questions, just let Michael or any of the other folks know, and they can route them to the right folks accordingly. Okay, thanks.